I'm still thanking God for the testimony that the folk on the bus came back with. That was an outstanding, awesome testimony that when trouble comes and things that we don't understand, it's how you look at it is what the testimony is, because we can look at things and complain about them. Amen. We can look at things and say, oh, poor me, why do I have to go through this? Or else we can look at things and say, there was something in that. There's a reason that happened. Maybe there was trouble ahead. Amen. And the adversary would like us to sit there and complain about it when there was a miracle that happened that we just didn't see. Hallelujah. And I was so glad to hear that. Instead of both complaining and I'm coming to pick people up and people all grouchy and disgruntled that people had the testimony, amen, that they just started singing praises unto God. I wonder if anybody gets what happened there. That when something starts to go wrong, but there are things that happen that we just don't understand and it changes our plans. Amen. Can we just start singing praises unto God and just start to lift them up and say, Lord, I thank you. I don't know why you just did what you did. I don't know why. Amen. But I'm just going to praise you anyhow because I know that you understand what I don't understand. You see further than I could see. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise God on this afternoon for being God. My soul longs and even faints for you. My heart and my flesh cries out for the living God, for the living God. Incline your ear, trembling in tears for the earth. Oh, to the throne of grace, to seek your face, a burden longing for you. I need you. I need you.
men in the house of the Lord. Amen. Scripture says, in his presence is the fullness of joy, and at his right hand. Amen. You don't get joy outside of God. Amen. You might have some temporary happiness, but true joy comes in the Lord. The scripture says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. When you get weak, sometimes you need to just call up joy. Amen. Because the joy of the Lord indeed is our strength. Amen. At this time, are we dismissing the children? Look my way. All right, we're dismissing the children. Amen. We're dismissing the children. And we just thank God for how good he's been. Hallelujah. I used to hear somebody say, if I had 1,000 tongues, I couldn't thank him enough for all that he's done for me. Amen. The scripture says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Once again, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. It says, let the redeemed. Anybody been redeemed this evening? Hallelujah. That means you once was lost. But tonight I can say, now I am found. You once was blind, but now you see. Because of God's amazing grace. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed out of the hands of the enemy. And the psalmist goes on to say, he's called us from the land in the west, from the land in the east, from the land in the north, and from the land in the south. It says, when we in our trouble called unto the Lord delivered us and saved us out of all of our trouble. He said, oh, that men would praise the Lord. Anybody want to praise the Lord? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works. Anybody know that God has some wonderful works? His wonderful works unto the children of men. Hallelujah. The Bible said, when they cried unto God, God heard them. Anybody want God to hear you tonight? And what I like, he said, when nothing else can help, he sent his word to heal them and to save them from all their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works. Lord, bless your name. Hallelujah. Amen. We just thank God tonight. We thank God tonight, for God is God. Amen. When we couldn't help ourselves. Hallelujah. When we couldn't find a way. The scripture said God made a way for us out of. Amen. We're going to ask you to stand for tonight for our scripture reading, which will be coming from 2 Kings chapter 7. Amen. We used to sing the song, I'm so glad. Anybody so glad tonight? I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Lord, when I was down so low, and I didn't know where my help was coming from. Amen. When I couldn't see no deliverance, when it seemed like every door was closed, when it seemed like everybody had given up on me, I said, Jesus lifted me. Amen. Our scripture reading is going to come from verse 1 of this 7th chapter. And we're going to read all the way up to verse. I'm not going to read all of this now for your sake, but we will go into it further. Let me see. Where is it? Wherefore sit we here till we die? We'll stop right there. What verse is it? Verse 7. Not 7. It says, why sit we here till we die? We'll stop there. All right, verse 3. That's good. I'll let y'all get out of that real early and easy. And then we'll go a little further. Amen. So 2 Kings chapter 7. Amen. I know y'all weren't taught all week. You're looking to have tomorrow off. So I'm not going to make y'all stand long. I worked hard this week too. Amen. But nevertheless, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. Amen. Tonight we're dealing with a subject that helps us to get out of ourselves and get into God. Amen. Verse 1 read, then Elijah said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow, when? Tomorrow, about this time, thank you, Jesus, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. And there were four leprous men at the entering end of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? May the Lord have a blessing in the reading of the word, and the church said,
word of the Lord
is blessed. Come on, the word of the Lord is blessed already. You may be seated. Amen. The word of the Lord is blessed already. Hallelujah. When the Lord spoke it, it was blessed. Amen. This is a time in Israel history, amen, when the scripture says that, if you read in verse 6, chapter 6, they had given the illustration when the king of Assyria had plotted and connived to trap the king of Israel. And God sent a message to Elijah three separate times to deliver Elijah out of the king of the hand of Syria. And the scripture lets us know that the king of Syria was troubled. He said, who's a traitor? Who's telling the king of Israel where we're planning on attacking him? Because every time we make a plan, he goes the opposite way. And they said, there's nothing more than a prophet that is in Israel. Amen. Elijah the prophet doth tell the king. Amen. In the scripture, we know the story that Elijah prayed that the servant's eye would be open that he would see. But then it came to pass after a period of time, after this deliverance from the king of Syria, that Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, besieged Samaria. That's where the Israelite was. That means they surrounded him. Nobody came in and nobody went out. Amen. The siege was so long that there was a famine because they couldn't get any food. Amen. And the scripture says that now the same, this is how, when you go through trouble, this shows you how the devil can influence you the wrong way. Now, when the first set of Syrians came and the Lord blinded them and Elijah led them to the king of Israel, the king of Israel asked the man of God, shall we kill him? And he said, no, set food before them and send them away. Now, when the famine gets bad, the king of Israel gets mad and said, shall not my life be as Elijah's if his head's not taken off his body tomorrow about this time? Hardships and difficulties can make you miss out on your blessing. This very same word, the same man of God that blessed you, when you go through hardship, you get mad at him. So he said, we're going to, about this time tomorrow, this is what the king of Israel said. He said, I'm going to take Elijah's head off. Elijah didn't cause the famine. Amen. But people have a way of getting mad at the man of God when things don't work out right. I'm not talking about me. I'm just talking about what happened in this case. Amen. So y'all don't get quiet on me. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, your hardships can make you see things wrong. Amen? They won't see it as they really are. So the king of Israel determined that he's going to kill Elijah because there's a famine in the land. And what made it worse was there were two women, and one woman said to the woman, because the famine was so great, he said, let's boil your child and eat him today, and then we'll boil my child and eat him tomorrow. So the first woman said yes. So they ate the first woman's child. They said, that's grotesque. Famine's making you do some strange things. Amen. Have you ever heard of people today that get stranded out in a plane accident, and when they have nothing, they start eating the bodies of those that have died? when you're in hardship, you do some stuff. Amen. It's not out of the norm. So they ate the one woman's child, and the next woman hid her child. So she went to the king of Israel, and he went in sackcloth and ashes, and he got mad at Elijah. So Elijah, that brings us up to this, okay? So now, all of Israel is in a siege. They're all in the city. Nobody's coming out. Nobody's coming in, going in. Amen. Verse 1 says, go back to verse 1, sorry. And what Elijah said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, when things get real bad, God knows how much you can take. Because God is what? Faithful. And in his faithfulness, God will never tempt you above that which ye are able. But he will with the temptation make a way to. God realizes enough. Amen. When God says enough. He said, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gates of. Now they are shut in. Amen. Verse 2 says, every time God, you know when God sends a word of blessing, there's always somebody to have some doubt. Amen. Somebody said, listen, that's not how God works. That's impossible. Is there anything? Is there anything too hard? Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, and he said it in a smart, aleck way. If the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing, you only got some doubters. Amen. But we should believe the Lord. Amen. Said, then they that believe the Lord. Hallelujah. And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with eyes, but thou shalt not. And you're going to see the blessing, but you're not going to be a part of it because you do not believe. Amen. Because of the hardship, your challenge. When things are real, real bad, it's hard to see God in the midst of the things because they're bad. So sometimes we get mad at God. That's what happened to the king of Israel. Things were so bad, he couldn't control it. When things get out of our control and they're real bad, we get mad at it because we can't control it. But God is still in control. Now, there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another. Now, because they were leprous, they were outside the gates, right? All now you gotta get this. All the rest of Israel is where? Inside the gate. Now these four lepers, because they had their own separate calling, they could not mix with everybody else. They were where? Outside the gates. Amen. They said one to another, why sit we here until we die? The situation is deplorable. The things are bad. What are we going to do? Hallelujah. Your situation might be bad. It might be deplorable. But what are you going to do? Are you going to just sit there? Are you going to stay in that bad situation and don't do nothing? Amen. You don't see no relief, no deliverance. What are you going to do? Are you going to just... Somebody said, well, I've done the best I can. Don't sit there. It's time for you to do. Now, look at somebody. I know we're supposed to do this. We're going to do it tonight, though. Look at somebody. And look at somebody and tell them, you got to do something. All right, if you don't look at somebody, tell yourself. Tell yourself, you got to do something. You can't stay like you are. Your situation is deplorable. It's bad. You're about to die in your situation and you won't do anything. You got to do something. Amen. What we had that challenge a little while. Do what? Challenge a little while ago. Do what? You got to do something. So the lepers are on the outside. How many know sometimes when you're outside, you can be the one to bring the deliverance? Because everybody in the gate, we're going to find out, could deliver them. The man of God has spoken a word. But how many know sometimes it's the unexpected that God will use to bring your deliverance. It won't come like you expected. Hallelujah. Everybody else is in the city. I'm on the outside looking in. But God can use you. If you don't do, stay there, and if you do something. Hallelujah. How many just, I'm just in this. I'm complacent. I've been here. Amen. Paul didn't say be content with such things as you have, but you didn't, he didn't say be satisfied. Amen. In other words, God, I'm not going to complain, but I'm going to do something. Amen. They said, why sit we here? Say, if we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we listen, we got to do. Come on, tell yourself, you got to do something. I don't know what kind of condition you've been in, but it's time to do something. You can't stay like you are. You can't stay in that shape. Amen. Leprosy was the worst of the worst of the worst. Amen. Nobody accepted them. They said, but we got to still do something. Don't die in your situation. Now therefore, come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall what? They said, well, listen, what difference does it make? We're about to die. Anybody about to die in your situation and you won't do anything? It's time to do something. Amen. And they rose up in the twilight. Twilight means this is dark. Amen. This is dusk. The sun is going down. To go unto the camp of Syria, and when they were come to the utmost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was nobody there. Yeah, Elijah already said tomorrow about by faith, because by sight it did not look like it was going to happen. Now you would think, well, God's going to deliver us. It's going to be a mighty man of God to deliver us. It's the unexpected when you do something. Amen. I don't know what your situation is, but can you do something? Somebody's, you know, we shut the doors, don't want to let the lights in, don't want to talk about it, nobody, don't want to look at something, do something. Why sit ye there until you? Why stay in that situation? You gotta do something. Amen. For the Lord. Who did it? Who did it? Y'all sing that song, y'all gotta know this one. Who did it?
I did it.
God did it. Amen. Amen. Now, nobody had done anything, but the Lord did it. Well, why did God do it? Because those leper purpose we got to do. So when they moved by faith, God had already moved. When you purpose to do right, when you start doing something, God already has the answer. But you gotta do something. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise, a chariot, and a noise of what in it? No. But God had moved in according to the four lepers' faith. They were outside. They were nothing. They were nobody. But they said, we're not going to sit here. We're going to do
something.
Hallelujah. I wonder, is anybody in church that's like, for mine to do? Do something. Hallelujah. If you do anything, God will honor it. Amen. You don't anything that have to be like anybody else. Four lepers. Nobody, they weren't even permitted to be in a normal society, yet deliverance. For a whole nation came through four unclean lepers because they did. Your situation might be bad, but can you do something? Amen? He said, lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the king of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come up. And now, they hadn't done anything, but the Lord made them to hear because they decided we're going to do something. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled. For you know, that situation had to be real bad. Right? If I'm in trouble and I want to get away, I'm not going to leave the horse because that's the fastest thing to get me out. Right? I'm not going to leave the donkeys because that's where my burdens come from. But when God is in the midst and God knows your need, He'll make the enemy flee, but He'll leave some stuff behind for you. So they fled. Now everybody they right by know, if you want to get away, you go fast on a horse and you can't on your feet. But when God discomforted them, whatever. You know, in other words, God messed it. God got in it, right? Y'all put on this, whatever it is. He did something. He did this. Down south, we used to call it this, that. Well, he did this. All right. Discombobulated, okay. But the scripture says he discomforted them. All right. Discomforted them. In other words, he messed them up so bad they didn't know what they were doing. So they fled on foot. Because they heard it. Come on, now you know God has to be in this. Because anybody right mind, you got horses, ain't gonna leave on foot, right? But when God is in the midst, people just don't know what to do. Because the Lord is fighting the battles. And when these lepers came to the utmost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried their silver and gold. They didn't even take the money with them. And they left the clothes as well, and went and hid it, and came again and entered to another tent and carried this also, and they went and hid it. Then they said one to another, "We do not well." This day is a day of God is making a way. Good tidings. And we hold, he said, if we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, because they could go in, because they were. Yet God used the unclean, those that couldn't even mix in the normal society, to deliver a whole nation. Just purpose, you're going to do something. Amen. A lot of times we say, well, now if we were the lepers, we'd say, well, look at me, I'm all disgusting looking. Right? I'm full of sores, and my whole body is disfigured and all that. God can't use me. Let God use you. Amen. The church has a tendency to disqualify themselves from God. The church has a Moses mentality. Lord, I'm so in speech. Can you send somebody else? God said, look, Moses, who made the tongue? Amen. God can use you. If you do, you got to do something, amen. He said, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents were as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's household within. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servant, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. All right, the king still didn't get it. Just because somebody's in charge don't mean they got it. Amen. So a lot of times when God is placing something for you to do, you don't have to get no approval from anybody else. Just believe God. So the king still didn't believe. He said, they know that we be hungry. Therefore they go out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into their what? Shut in. They wouldn't go out, wouldn't come in. And one of his servants asked and said, let some take, I pray thee, 5 of the horses that, most of the horses in the city were dead. That's why God had them leave their horses. Amen? Do you understand how God works? God knows what things you have need of before. Then most of their horses have died from the famine. So God had the Syrians leave their horses to help Israel, because they are for dead, amen? That remain which are left in the city, behold, they are as all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed. And let us send, he said, you know what, this situation is so deplorable, we don't have nothing. He said, let us send and see They took therefore two chariots of horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, go and see. And they went after them unto Jordan. And lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messenger returned and told the king. You know what? They had been in such a deplorable condition that God left stuff behind to help his people. Now, when you run in, most people are going to throw all this stuff aside. But when God is involved, the enemy don't know what to do. When you start doing what you want to do, the enemy don't know what to do. So then the enemy starts acting abnormal, but the abnormality feeds your needs. When they act abnormal, those abnormalities will feed your need because God is involved. Can I get an amen? Amen. And the people went out and swathed the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a. Is that what the man of God said tomorrow about? You gotta believe God. Who do you believe tonight? Are you a naysayer? Say, well, God did. You know, I've been hearing this stuff in church. Believe God for what God can do for you. Amen. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according. It was done according. Do you believe God? God sent his word and it healed them and delivered them from all of their troubles. Why? God's word. Amen. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate. And the people. Now this is the same one that said, if God were to open. How are you going to put a limit on God? Amen. That's why God, and I believe Psalm 678:41, it said that the people turned back and they placed limits on God. Said, God can't do this and God can't do that. And God got angry. We're not going to place limits on God. Amen. Because God is able to do what? And above all that you want. So take the limits off God. And they trod upon him in the gate and he died. He died as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gates of Samaria. And the Lord asked, oh, wait, we're going back, right? That's the end. We're going back to number one. I said, we read that. That's the end of that. Now, what I'm saying is we need to do what? Something. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 16. What happens a lot of times because we don't know what to do, we don't do anything. Amen. We know that God can do anything, but when we don't know what to do, we don't do anything. Amen. This is when they had buried the Lord. Amen. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother, James and John, went to anoint the body of Jesus. Now, this is a very interesting story that they went because they realized they faced an impossible situation, but they did what? Something, amen? Verse 1 read, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, right? Say, we're going to anoint him, but there is a problem. Amen? Now, what were the apostles? Shut up for what? Fear. You can read about it in John chapter 19. They wouldn't even come out. They would shut up in the house for what? Fear. Amen. So a lot of times you say, God don't use women. Well, who was the first one he appeared to? Amen. Not that I'm trying to put down men, but I'm saying people don't know how God's going to work. The men were shut up, just like the lepers. Well, on the outside, the women were still on the outside, but God. Don't count those people out that's on the outside because you don't understand what God is going to do. So they said, they went, he said, who shall roll us away the storm. But they what? They still went. Now, a lot of times, this is what we do. We disqualify what God can do. Amen. Go to Matthew chapter 27. We disqualify what God can do. Now, keep this in mind. They go into the sepulcher, but they realize it's a challenge. How are they going to get to Jesus? But they didn't just sit there. They did something. Amen. Now, the storm was great, but let's go to 27, I think, verse 55. Go to 55, I believe it is, of 27. All right. Now, they have more than just that stone to worry about. All right. Because the scripture says, as we read, and many women were there beholding afar which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. Among them was, once again, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, who's the same as Salmon, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own. Joseph had prepared a tomb for himself. Amen. And just the magnificence. It was a polished stone tomb because Joseph was a rich man. All right. So he had prepared the tomb for himself. He was Jesus, and he and Nicodemus, if you read about it, was Jesus' disciples. They were disciples how? Secretly. Right? They wouldn't do it openly. But after the Lord died, he said, you know what? I have to go and help my Savior. So he did. He wasn't afraid. Amen. He said, hewn in the outer stone, and he rolled a great stone in the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was. So they watching what Joseph is doing, right? So they see that Joseph has a great stone. It's not a regular stone, but what kind of stone? A great stone. And right, they're watching, sitting over against the sepulcher. Next verse. But there was a greater challenge than just the stone. But these women were determined that they were going to do something. Amen. So then the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, they didn't believe. All right, said, then that deceiver, see, he's going to rise again. So once again, we know it's a great stone, amen, that they have to get past. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way and make it as ye. So now they know they have a great stone that they got to get by, right? So what they did is they gave them 2 Roman soldiers. They changed shift every 3 hours to make sure that nobody got to the Jesus. Right? So Mary and Martha are watching this, and they see there's a challenge. Not only is it the stone, but they have to try and get past soldiers, right? But they still did. They didn't just sit there. They said, we don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to go in faith. Now, as with the lepers, remember, as they moved, they said, and the Lord had already made the Syrians to hear. Amen? So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone. Go back for a minute. Don't go. You went too fast. I ain't that fast reading. I'm slow. But too fast at times. Amen. Made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Now, when they sealed the stone, what they would do, the stone was great. They wanted to make sure that nobody got in it. They would take a string and string it from one side of the stone to the other side of the stone, and they would seal it with the king's signet, which means that it was official. All right, so they sealed the stone with a string to make sure nobody had moved the stone. Now, Mary and Mary are watching this, but yet and still, by faith, they went against all odds. And they did something. Amen? It says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, the first day of the week, came Mary, Magdalene, and Mary to see the sepulcher. Now, because even though it was an impossible situation, the stone was great, it was sealed, and there were soldiers, they still went anyhow because they believed God. Amen? And behold, there was a... They didn't know how it was going to happen, but because they went, God honored them, and there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and... Hallelujah. All you have to do is move in faith, and God will make a way out of... Come on. God will make a way out, but you got to do something. Though the situation is impossible, bleak, and bad, you got to do something. Amen. By faith. When God sees you move by faith, remember, God cannot deny himself, neither can God deny his word. So when you move, God has to. That's what we used to say to ourselves. When you move, God got to move. That's in the Baptist church. Y'all might not know about that. But when you move, God got to move. Because God would never deny himself, God would never deny his word. So when you move, and God sees that you're moving in faith, do you think God would ever let you be more faithful than he would be? But the problem with the church, we don't move, we don't do nothing, because it's too hard. It's too difficult. The challenge is too big. We got to get past the soldiers, we got to get past the stones. We got to wait till somebody else does it. You move. Though you may be the unexpected, go ahead and move anyhow. The women were unexpected, but they moved. The lepers were unexpected, but they moved. Just you move. Don't sit there in that situation until you die. You got to move. Amen. He said, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers, hallelujah, they were supposed to be keeping the shore, right? They were supposed to be keeping everybody else out. But when you move and God moves, all those enemies that came against you one way, the Bible said they'll flee seven ways. Why? So they moved, God moved, and those that were supposed to be protecting and keeping shouldn't fear. Do you understand what it takes for you to have God on your side? You got to move in spite of it. So they just shake in fear and became as. So the women know anything about this? No. But they what? They did something. And because God honored their faith as they moved, those that were supposed to be keeping them out, God made them as dead men. Right? Because of their faith. They said, how are we going to move the stone? We don't know how it's going to happen, but we're going to go anyhow, because some kind of way God's going to make a way out of it. I don't know how my situation is going to change, but I'm going to do something because God's going to make a way out of no way. When you move in faith, you can never outmove God. Amen. When you move. But the problem that we have in church, many of us have making our situation so big. We don't say it verbally, but our attitude and our actions say, God can't do it. But when you move in spite of the challenges, when you move in spite of the difficulties, though hard it may be, when God says, I see you, and I see your faith, and I will not deny your faith. The Scripture said, they that believed in God, believed the Lord, spake often one to another, and God hearkened. And a book of remembrance was, you know what, said, look, don't be talking, you know the thing is, we get together, we say, oh, you don't know what this has happened to me, and that's happened to me, my whole life has been this. That ain't what God want to hear. Amen? You know, I'm getting home now, but I'm going to still say it. We can't get past the door because we keep bringing up all this mess from the past. Just like Mary Magdalene, how many demons got cast out of her? Seven, right? Before God, if she said, oh God, I'm not qualified. First of all, I was a street woman. I had all these demons. I had all these problems. But yet it's still the one that was despicable. The one that man would have disqualified. The one that they said would never amount to much of anything. God appeared to first. Hello? Man has no determination. Man's standards has no determination when you decide you want to do something for God. Amen. Purpose in your mind. You know what? I got a bad past. Just think, if a lot of us were Mary Magdalene, we would have done Magdalene. We would have done anything, right? If a lot of us were Rahab, you know, every time they mention Rahab, they Rahab to who? Harlot. I mean, come on, can I just be Rahab? Can I just be a person? Why do I have to always be Rahab? The harlot. James talks about Rahab, the harlot. Amen. Why does Hebrews talk about Rahab? Yet Rahab the harlot was in the lineage of Jesus. Man disqualified Rahab the harlot. But God qualified Rahab the harlot. I think Rahab the harlot was King David's either grandmother or great-grandmother. How do you take a Canaanite, a harlot, somebody that's despicable, one of the worst occupation, worst reputation, and you put them in the royal lineage of Jesus? Amen. Because she purposed she was going to do. Tonight, can we purpose we're going to do something in spite of it all? And the angel answered, said unto the women, fear not ye. For I know that ye seek, which was? He is not. He is risen as he already told you he wasn't going to stay here. He has risen as he said, come, come and see the place. Yeah, some of us need to come see the place. Amen. Tell somebody to come see the place. You need to come and see the place because he is not here, but he's risen just like he. Sometimes you need to tell those people that keep telling you what you're not going to do, you need to come and see the place, because it's not like it was, but it is as he said. That's what faith. Faith will make you do. Hello? Faith make you do something. He is not here, but he's risen as he said. And that's good enough there. You know, I like what Luke said when they went to say, he said, why seek ye the living? Why seek ye the living? The problem in church, we keep looking for too much living stuff in dead situations. We keep looking for living stuff in a dead situation. Oh, well, I was going to try this for God, but you know what? The last stuff, that's dead. Why are you resurrecting that? Why seek ye the living among the what? The dead. Tonight is time for us to do. Can we do something? Amen. Let me see what time it is, because I can't go over time, because y'all, yeah, I'm early. Somebody said, go ahead and end it until we get out of now. But it's time for us to do something. Don't blink. Don't despair. The situation may be, the lepers were outside. Despicable, count it out. But God used them to deliver the whole nation. Mary and Mary, God used them to encourage the apostles. Amen? Because he said, go tell my disciples and Peter. And when they went to tell Peter, they said, then, after the women went and told him, then they ran to the sepulchre. But who's the Lord preaching to saying, 3 days I rise again? He was preaching that to who? The apostles. Yet, they didn't believe God. Amen. Tonight, we need to just believe God. Amen. And stop listening to all the naysayers. Stop listening to the Lord on whose hand the king leaned and said, can this thing be? We have to believe God. Amen. The Bible said, whatsoever we do, we should do heartily as unto the Lord and not unto who? Men. Our service, how we move for God, should be as unto the Lord and not unto men. Now, we like to use excuses. How many know people like to use excuses? Him, her, this, that. You know what? You do what you got to do. We'll close in Proverbs 26. Go to Proverbs 26, I think verse 22. We'll close here. This is what happens to us a lot of times. In Proverbs chapter 6, the Bible says, consider thee and thou sluggard. Right? So consider the ant. Having no guide or overseer, they provide their meat in the summer. And so they don't even have a leader, but they get something done. Amen. The problem we have in church, we don't like to do anything for God. Yes, we will take care of our own. Just like those that were in Samaria, they were besieged, they were sent in, so they would take care of their own needs, but they weren't going outside the walls and take care of the needs of the nation. In church, we need to stop just worrying about our own needs, and we need to take care of the needs of the church. I know we can get a lot of amens there, but that's the truth. Amen. You gotta get out of yourself, as Minister Gibbs says, when you start praying for others, God will heal you. Actually, before we go there, let's go here first. Is it 26, 22? No, not 22. I got the wrong verse. Verse 15. Verse 12. Let's start at verse 12. All right. Not 22, but verse 12. Proverbs. This is what happened in the church, and then we'll end up in, we'll go to Job chapter 42. All right. It says, seeth thy man as wise? That means he called up himself. Amen. Called up himself. There is more hope of a. Who said this? The wisest man in heaven. Said, you know, some people just caught up in themselves. Amen. In their situations. What I need, what I want, what I can do. So there's more hope of a fool than of him. Next verse. The slothful man says, there's a lion is in the street. He didn't go outside. You know why? He just don't want to do nothing. So he uses excuses to justify him doing nothing. Amen. We need to get out of our situations. Amen. We need to take away the excuses. Tell yourself, take away the excuse. I know yourself is you. I know. Y'all want to do it silently, y'all want to do it loud. You got to take away the excuses. We have excused our way into a state of disobedience to God. Because God is telling us to do something, but we won't do anything for God because there's a lion in the streets. Right? Come on. This street really means there's a lion in the marketplace. It's not just in the street. This is in a busy marketplace full of people. There's a lion. Right? Excuses for not doing what God wants them to do. So as the door turneth upon his hand, so doth the slothful. What does that mean? It means he's time for you to get up and do something. You can't just keep staying in the bed of doing nothing and wallowing in your own situation. It's time to get out of that. It's time to shake yourself and do something. The slothful having his head in his, you know, you're in bad shape, you know. So you won't do anything. You have to enter your bosom and then it grieves you to even. That's a bad. Amen? Because of they don't want to do anything. And God can make a way when you decide you're going to do something. Now let's close in Job chapter 42. Amen. Job chapter 42, we'll close here. It's time for us to get out of self. Amen. It's time for us to get out of our own situation. And it's time for us to do something for God. Amen. 42, it actually, let's start in verse 1. We go up to verse 1. We go down as far as we can in a hurry. I do it in a hurry, okay? He said, then Job answered the Lord and said, now all this time Job had been just complaining after he had finished blessing God. When things got when things get real bad, you know, you do what? Have a tendency to do what? Complain. He said, I know that thou canst do everything and that no fault can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. Thing too wonderful for me. Now, Job is talking to God. Amen. Sometimes you need to come to yourself and have a one-on-one conversation with God. In the next verse. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. Job said, but now mine eyes. When you start doing, you won't just be able to hear what God has done for somebody else, but you will have a testimony for what God has done for you. He said, Job said, when I consider all this, he said, I abhor myself. And that's when you're going the right way. You know, I consider all that I've done. He said, now, Lord, I repent in dust ashes. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said unto Eliphaz and Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against our two friends, for ye have not. You got to speak of the Lord. Amen. You got to keep God involved. You know, when you start doing things based on your own personal mind and thoughts, it won't be God. Though wise you may be, the reason what Eliphaz is because he was the oldest and was considered to be the wisest. Amen. He said, for you have not spoken to me the thing that is. The problem is you've been speaking, but it's not right. As my servant Job had. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourself a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall. The one that you've been trying to mess up, he said, he's going to now what? Pray for you. For him have I. You know why? Because Job, though all those trials, had a change of heart. He what? Repented. He said, God said, now him have I accepted. Lest I deal with you after your folly, and that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is. If you're going to talk about God, can you say what is? Right? Amen. They done all those verses after chapter 4 of Job, from chapter 4 all the way up to chapter 32, all they did was just bash Job. But he said, in all of that, he did not speak what was right. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. You know, you want your deliverance, then do what the Lord tell you to do. A lot of us want deliverance, but we want to do it our way. If you're going to do something, do it whose way? God's way. Amen. And the Lord, can we read this together? And the Lord turned the what? Captivity of Job. When did he turn it? When he what? Prayed for his friends. You got to get out of self. Amen. You want to do something for God? Then let's pray for the needs of the church. Pray for the brothers. Pray for the sisters. Pray for somebody else. And stop focusing on you. God did not turn Job captivity. He did what? As we all said, it's time for every one of us to do something. Amen. You know, we wallowed in the same situation. We've sat there long enough. Why sit we here till we die? It's time for change. Amen. The change only comes when we do the things and speak the things that are right. Amen. And this is where it takes a personal self-inspection tonight. As I inspect myself, do I do the things that are right? Or do I do the things that are wrong? Let me give you another thing as the altar workers can all come forward. During the Civil War, just to let you know, a lot of times, well, that's culture. They got a real relationship with God. During the Civil War, when the Union soldiers were fighting the Confederate soldiers at the Battle of Gettysburg, there was a school teacher by the name of Joshua Chamberlain. Y'all, a little bit of history. A little bit of history. In 1962, he left his teaching position in a university to join the Union Army. And what the Civil War was about was trying to break slavery. How many know the devil wants to keep us bound? Amen. But the Bible says that he whom the Son has set free is what? Free indeed. So Joshua Chamberlain said to this student, he said, it's time for us to get out of our comfort zone. And it's time for us to make sacrifices. Not just sacrifices of things that people see, but he said, I need to make a personal sacrifice. And everybody told him he was crazy. His family said he was crazy. So what he did, he said, well, I'm going to Europe for 2 years. But what he did is he went and joined the Union Army. And he was assigned to a post at Gettysburg. And he was protecting Hill, which was one of the key hills in the Army. He was protecting the hill called Little Round Top. And what happened was they didn't have all of their backup, and the Confederate soldiers knew it, so they began to attack and push Joshua Chamberlain and his men back further and further. They suffered all many casualties and ran out of ammunition. So Joshua Chamberlain said, right now, if we wait for the enemy to attack us, we will be destroyed. So when he said, he told his men, he said, get your bayonets, and we're going to charge them. Now they ran out of all of their weapons, no more ammunition. But they took their bayonets, and they charged the Confederate army that outnumbered them by many. And because of the way they came at the Confederate army, they said, obviously they got some backup that we don't know anything about. So when the Confederate army, who had the bullets and the guns, saw them charging, they began to flee. That wasn't God. But there was someone in their heart that determined, I want to do something. And as a result, they won the Battle of Gettysburg. Because they had no weapons, but the enemy didn't realize it, but they had boldness and courage to do something. Tonight, can we purpose, no matter what the enemy is doing, no matter how we outnumber, we're going to do something in the support.